The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Prepare your ears, humans. Happy, Sad, Confused begins now.
Today on Happy, Sad, Confused, Leslie Bibb becomes a superhero at last in Jupiter's Legacy. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused with a first-time guest, Ms. Leslie Bibb. This was such a fun conversation with someone that I've known for quite a while. I know her partner, Sam Rockwell, very well for a long while. So it was fun to bring all those worlds together for a long distance chat all the way from Australia. Leslie Bibb talking about her new Netflix series, Jupiter's Legacy. More on that in a second. But first, a couple other business items to mention. We launched the Happy, Sad, Confused Patreon just about a week ago, a little over a week ago, and I am so thrilled with the response, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. If you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to just check it out, because if you love what I do here on Happy, Sad, Confused, you're probably going to love what we're doing over on the Patreon page. It's patreon.com/happysadconfused. Again, patreon.com/happysadconfused. The big stuff we're doing are all these new video shows. So we have a new show called Happy, Sad, Confused Game Night. The first episode went up last week with Sam Heughan, Colin O'Donoghue, and Kat McNamara. That was a blast. We have already shot another episode of Game Night with another trio of amazing guests. That is coming soon. I'm not going to say any more than that. We're putting up video versions of the podcast, including the Andrew Garfield conversation, which exploded last week when Andrew Garfield commented for the first time on all the rumors about him returning to playing Spider-Man in the next Spider-Man film. A lot of people think he's lying. What do I think? You know what? In the moment, I believed him. The more I think about it, I think we're going to see Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man. That is, by the way, not based on anything, insider knowledge of anything, except the stuff I've heard like everybody else. And the fact that I think Andrew Garfield, there's some tells in there in the way he answered the question. But I'm thrilled that we had that kind of conversation. And by the way, if you've only seen the clips of that, I encourage you to listen or watch the full Andrew Garfield interview, because there's so much fun stuff in that episode that I'm thrilled we got. Anyway, all of which is to say, that video extended version of Happy, Sad, Confused is only available on the Patreon page, as is Game Night, as are all the exclusive news about upcoming guests, the merch. We debuted a look at the first Happy, Sad, Confused t-shirt, which you can get at the third tier. So, you know, we're trying stuff out, and again, I'm honestly very humbled and thrilled that as many of you guys have signed up as you have, and got a lot of cool guests coming up, cool game nights, video versions of the podcast, and all sorts of other stuff up our sleeves. So check it out, patreon.com/happysadconfused. What other things to mention? Oh, this is big. This is exciting. So I'm starting to do stuff in person again. You know, like, virtual interviews are great. But I did a little shoot last week for MTV, and I am about to journey on a plane for the first time since the madness happened early last year to Los Angeles. I will be at the MTV Movie and TV Awards, guys. You know, this is something I've been doing for a long while, where I host the red carpet stuff for MTV. I do the backstage stuff, And that is the plan this year. And I am so, so thrilled. It's going to be surreal and weird after the crazy last year. But I'm really looking forward to it. Some amazing presenters and nominees are going to be there. Leslie Jones is hosting. So look out for that. I'm going to put all the content, of course, up on my social stuff on at Joshua Horowitz on Twitter and Instagram. But also just check out the MTV news page. I'll be popping up on air that night for MTV. So, you know, it's exciting to go back to one of the perennial things I always love doing, which is covering our own award show at MTV. And I think this will be a good one. So, yeah, so that's the major stuff, the Patreon, the MTV stuff. And then the main event today, Leslie Bibb. So Leslie Bibb, of course, has been killing it for years in all sorts of film and TV projects. You might have seen her way back when in Popular, in Talladega Nights, and you know, in Tag in recent years. Every kind of genre she's been in, and she's currently starring in Jupiter's Legacy, which is this really cool new show on Netflix. I watched the whole thing. I was really into it. It's based on Mark Miller's comic book of the same name. A very big story, an ambitious story, a multi-generational superhero family story. And the leaders of this family, the mom and dad, are Leslie and Josh Duhamel. I was into it. I just like binged it in about a day and a half. And I think you guys will dig it. And as I said to Leslie, I appreciate that it's a superhero project that kind of swings for the fences and you know, goes for stuff we haven't seen in superhero films or TV projects before. So, well, we're checking out. It's on Netflix right now. As I also said, Leslie is in Australia right now. So the connection was pretty good. I will say, for some reason, my audio was a little bit screwy. We'll see if we can mend it, but I might be a little hot, as they say, a little loud, but hopefully it'll all even out and won't sound so crappy for you guys. Also worth mentioning, Sam Rockwell, the great Sam Rockwell, Leslie's partner, shows up in this conversation. I think we'll use a little bit of it just because it's like the casual stuff up top when Sam popped in. He's just the best guy on the planet and has been so sweet to me over the years, and I positively adore him. So it was nice of him to come by and say hi and reference all our silly shenanigans over the years. He mentions a gimp mask. That's a reference to an After Hours sketch we did. He references a Moon video, another sketch we did way back when. So a lot of history there. Those are the kind of what we're talking about if you hear me and Sam and Leslie talk about that stuff. But yeah, so a little Sam, but a lot of Leslie in this, and she is so fun and smart and interesting. And yeah, we cover a lot in this conversation, and I'm thrilled she took the time out from her adventure in Australia. She's shooting another Netflix series with the great Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone. And she gets to play Satan in it, guys. Come on. All right, so that's enough preamble. All the plugs are in. MTV Movie and TV Awards this Sunday night on MTV, if I didn't say that. Patreon.com/happysadconfused for extras and bonus stuff. And for the main event today, yeah, it's me, Leslie Bibb, and a little Sam Rockwell. You packed Sam Rockwell in your carry-on case all the way to Australia. Hey, guys.
Oh, Josh.
It's good to see you, buddy. Good to see you both.
Is there a gimp mask in this interview?
Just wait. I was going to be my big surprise. How are you guys doing?
Hey, where's the Moon? Where's the Moon short film
we
did? See what I got to do with?
He comes in whenever I have hair and makeup on. All he goes is like,
she won't even wear a gimp mask for me.
I just want to mess you up.
He's so needy. He's so demanding.
He loves you so much, though.
Right back at both of you.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Awesome. He just said, I do my best work with you.
Well, he does pretty good work with everybody, I would say.
Yes. But Josh, when I said, oh, guess what I'm going to do? I get to do, I'm doing Josh Horowitz's podcast. I'm so excited. I feel honored. And Sam's like, I love that guy.
yeah, that guy's great.
And then he proceeded to send me every clip he's done with you. Oh yeah, that happened. Like, but no, I mean, he doesn't always say that, but he really does.
That's very sweet. I adore that man beyond all reasonable feelings.
I mean, what's that clip with you and Justin Long in a devil costume?
Leslie, we need to get you in on the action.
I'll get in on the action. I mean, COVID's ruining everything.
It really is.
Look at that surfboard.
Did that come with a place? Did you guys bring that?
I brought it from New York. I like to have a surfboard with no fin that's made of wood that's probably has zero buoyancy in it. And I like to go out in shark infested waters and try.
Yeah, on the Hudson. That's the best surfing, right?
Yeah. In the Hudson. But here in Australia, I like to go out to Belongil Beach, you know, where there's some sharks and just see, you know, roll the dice, if you will.
I was going to say, this is all too much gold, Ben, I'm not going to even do an official start. We've started already. Is that okay, Leslie? This is it.
I think, what is Sam doing? He's rolling. I can just see like a head popping out of a bush. And I was like, what is he doing? And I was like, he's rolling out. He likes to hydrate and roll out.
You guys are very limber. You're the most limber couple I know.
He's very limber. I'm not, but he's very limber. He's always stretching. Our friend was doing a meeting with him and he said, this is like a real meeting, Sam. Like, this is like a real meeting about projects. Like, would you stop stretching? And he's like, you're like a cliche of an actor. And Sam's like, oh, what do you mean? I'm not a cliche. He's like, made him crazy.
This is what happens after you get the Oscar. You just feel like you can do anything. I can just stretch out.
He's doing the TRX outside right now. Yeah, you can't see him. You can't, he's hidden.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
So tell me, you're in Australia. And before we get to Jupiter's Legacy, which I really dug, I want to talk about what you're up to right now. No, I truly did. This is all my interest coinciding. It's you, superheroes. It's Josh Duhamel in crazy hair. It's all the things
craziest
I love in life.
Crazy hair.
Before we get to that, because you're in Australia on what sounds like an awesome project. You're working with like one of my other favorite couples on the planet, Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone. Talk to me about, you're playing Satan? What's happening?
Playing Satan. I mean, it's like a get out of jail free card. It's so fun to go to, like, there's sort of no ground I can not go to when you're on set, you know, because it's all improv. They're first Australia. Australia, coming from the States, where, you know, and I got here at the end of February. Right. So it was really intense. The vaccines weren't out and, you know, it was just intense. Sam was in London. I came here and went straight into quarantine, which was like, whoa, this is a lot. But then I remember Ben and Melissa kept saying, it's dreamy here. It's dreamy. And I didn't really understand. I mean, I was like, okay, it's dreamy. Like, I just thought, and then I got out and I went, oh, it's dreamy. It's dreamy. It's like, it's sunny, no masks. You know, I was waiting to do so much stuff until he got out, because it felt like, you know, we've been a year of being cooped up. Everybody has. And so the first thing we did is we went and saw a movie. He got out on Wednesday. He got here to where I am. And I think Thursday I had a day off and we went and saw Supernova with Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci. And that felt really nice. It felt nice to sit in a movie. I forgot how much I missed it.
I had I did a double feature yesterday. First time in 14 months at a movie theater.
Masks or no masks?
Masked. It was a press screening. So there was also only a couple people masked. And it was like a nice little dip back in. And you're right. It felt like I wasn't stressed. It was just like, yeah, this doesn't feel like that much time has passed. This is my comfort zone. It was kind of a beautiful
thing. Yeah. I mean, we were no masks eating popcorn.
Crazy.
That was really crazy. So in a weird way, I think there's like some psychological stuff that's going to happen to all of us to sort of get back to whatever normal is. Will it ever be normal? I mean, movie theaters have to. I mean, when I heard that the ArcLight was closing, that's so upsetting to me. Yeah. Like, that's That's, as Sam likes to call it, the Cinemarama Dome. He's like, we got to go to the Cinemarama Dome.
Just add one little syllable in there. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's true. Like you, what other place do you go see, you know, Fury Road, you know, like you can't like that. Like we saw Avatar there. Like we, like you, it's awesome.
And you guys know in New York, we've already experienced it. The Ziegfeld closed a few years ago. There's like no big theaters here.
Ziegfeld was our, that's our Christmas Day movie theater.
Totally.
Because it's not like the greatest. I mean, the seats are not very comfortable.
Right.
But that theater is everything.
The giant chandelier and the whole, yeah, everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good popcorn. A lot of it is like where good popcorn is. I mean, if like the Angelica, like even though those seats are like so uncomfortable, you're stuffed in, or Film Forum. Film Forum is better because it's like a raked. I love that raked.
Well, and they did do a renovation recently, but the Angelica is crazy because, and I love it, but literally like you're going to hear a subway for 20% of that film.
Like you can, but I don't care.
It's okay. It's all good.
I love it. I love it. So I don't know, but like, I think movie theaters have become like safe. There's, you know, like home, like, you know, if you're a kid and you're like, well, I'm on base, I'm safe. That's my base, you know, like wherever you go and whatever city, you know, we're sort of, you know, you're always going to a new place and sort of there's a nomadic lifestyle with being an actor. And so I feel like, you know, and it's our job. So I love to watch people do it and hopefully do it better, you know, so that I can steal all their ideas and put it into something I want to do, you know. I love that inspo of like going to see movies and seeing old movies, like Film Forum. I love that place. I love going to see movies there so much. And so that I miss. But so it's Australia is, it's beautiful. It's dreamy. It's what Ben and Melissa said. So that was already like a win to sort of, you know, sort of go back to some sense of normalcy. And then to get to work with those two, they're really nice. They're really nice.
They are super crazy. It's almost, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, but like, it must be, I mean, you've obviously done a lot of this and you've done a lot of big comedy, very successful comedy, but it has to always be a nice like validation when like the Adam McKay and the Will Ferrell say, welcome to our party, or the Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone say like, yeah, you're one of us. We trust you to play this game.
It's funny. It's the feeling I had when I got the call on like a Saturday. I remember my agent, like sometimes when I don't get it, like, you know, every actor is like goes through periods where it feels a little dry, if you will. And my agent, Eddie Oblons, he said to me, he goes, Bibby, your life can change with a phone call. Just wait. And I remember it was like Sam had left for London. I was in this house rental in LA. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be here. And then I guess I'll go back to New York and maybe go see Sam in London. I was like, cause I didn't know what work looked like, you know, like, you know, pandemic. And a friend of mine is directing a bunch of these episodes and he is good friends, Michael McDonald, who was on Mad TV. And he taught Melissa and Ben at the Groundlings.
Oh, wow.
And he's one of the funniest human beings. He's like a laser. He's so fast. And my phone rang at 8:30 on a Saturday night. And I was, yes, already in bed watching Pretend It's a City because I was missing New York City.
Obsessed with that show. I binged that like crazy. Oh my God.
I go back and watch it. It was like, it comforted me so much that it would put me to sleep in like the, it was like a cradle. I don't know how Fran became my cradle, but she was my cradle. And totally. I love how Scorsese is so amused by her. Like the way his face is the cutest. So
anyway, yes, you're in bed watching Fran Lebowitz.
And the phone rings from an unknown caller and I pick it up and it's Michael. And he goes, hey, I'm gonna, Ben and Melissa and I want you to do this thing. And I just want to know, is it something you would do? And I was like, what, why are you saying it? Like, do I want to? It's like, I get to play Satan. and they're touched by God. And he's like, all your scenes are pretty much with them. And it's really fun. He's like, if I were, this is the part I would want to play. And I was like, what? And he kept saying, are you, and I was like, why are you saying that? What's the downfall?
Stop selling. We're okay. We're
good. Yeah. You had me at like, do you want to go to Australia? I would have been like in a banana costume being like, hey guys. And so, yeah. And then the script came and 2 weeks later I was on a plane. And also before I left, I had to learn how to ride a motorcycle. And it was just crazy. I mean, and then you get here and they're so nice. They're just, I know. And they love a set that's really easygoing, and they constantly are, any idea you have, they're like, yeah, try it. And then you do something. And then Melissa's like, oh, maybe it's like, it's just collaborative in the most wonderful sense of the word. So not only are you working, you're working on something that's really fun, but you're also working with people who inspire you. And I don't know, I come home from work and I feel like that was a good day at the office.
Well, and remind you like how it can be in its best iteration, right? Like that it doesn't have to feel like shitty, or there doesn't have to be egos on the set, and it can just be a collective, cooperative, fun time.
What do you think? Why do you think that happens? What is that fear-based? Like when people get like, it has to be, right? Like
I think a lot of it is insecurities. It's just they manifest in shitty ways for unfortunately some people, and they lash out. I mean,
which is ironic that people create an environment for creativity in a fear-based,
right?
They create a fear-based environment and then say, hey, come be fearless.
Right.
Just go swing for the fences.
Yeah.
And then they've done nothing to give you a bedrock that's sturdy and safe. But
it's funny though. You mentioned like Melissa, like it's like, and something about some of these comedians, it's like, I've done a lot with Sandler over the years, and he infamously creates that same kind of environment. It's like at a certain level you get to, and maybe it's like, you know, they realize that as important as anything is creating a just happy environment. And like,
well, maybe also they're just saying like, life's short and why do we want to work with assholes?
I always say that it's like, there's so much talent in your industry that it's like, why do we have to reward the assholes? We can just like, there are 10 other people that are really talented that just by luck or lack thereof are waiting. So bring on the nice folks.
And there's also this thing that like, well, only this, and there's like very few people. Like, I think Sammy is a, like, I don't know how many Sammys, I don't know how many Joaquin Phoenixes are out there.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know if there's another Phil. Like that's like a mold broken, you know?
No, here we go.
How many Meryl Streeps are there? I don't know, you know, like, but come down one notch from that.
Right, exactly.
We got a lot of people in that one.
Yeah.
And they're talented and they're funny and they're kind and they're great. They might not just be as well known. I mean, there is this idea that, I think it's kind of bullshit, this idea of like, well, it sells foreign, like foreign somehow is like how people get parts. And it's like, I remember being, I was talking to producers, talking about financing and going through their list of like, what gets foreign.
Right.
I remember talking to somebody and I was like, we should get James Corden. Cause I'd seen him in One Man, Two Govs. And I was like, this would be great. And they were like, I was like, he just did this play. It's on Broadway. It's called One Man, Two Govs. This guy is a star.
Yeah.
He's perfect for this part. We would be so lucky to have him. And they were like, and I remember this producer said, I mean, Broadway, nobody cares about Broadway. Nobody cares about theater. And I dropped out of the project. I was like, we don't speak the same language. You're speaking.
Subscribing to like, they're subscribing to some algorithm in their head and not like just kind of simple. Yeah. The simple way to go is just like, that person is talented. That person has it, which is kind of apparent to anybody with a eye for or nose for this stuff. So
yeah, and like I think like a month later he got in the woods or Into the Woods or whatever that musical with Meryl Streep and like, you know, I think it's so arrogant to think, and you know, and like you never know what somebody's next, like you sort of pass on somebody and they end up getting, you know, I'm always impressed with directors and studios that make bold choices and sort of think outside the box and stuff.
I want to get into a little bit of the new project for a sec, because Jupiter's Legacy is the project. It's on Netflix. I binged it truly. Like before I knew I was going to talk to you, I was all in.
Really?
Yeah, no, truly.
Amazing.
So
do you like that? Do you love that world? Do you love?
I do, but I don't watch it all. I don't love it all. I'll be honest. I liked a lot about this. I hadn't read the source material. I knew Mark Miller a bit from Kick-Ass, et cetera. But I liked.
Isn't he a piece of work? I mean,
he's a personality. Yeah.
He is. I mean, he sends me, I just got an email from him. He's like, hey, sis, I just love, he just calls me sis. So I was like,
he's like a P.T. Barnum of his own making. He can like sell. Yeah.
I think, and he's like, I think he was like a doctor or like, he's like,
oh, really?
He's not from that world. Like, I think he was like a scientist or like in the like some thing and started writing comics. Amazing. It's I found really interesting. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean.
No, but I was going to say, I mean, no, this is super ambitious. Like I like big swings in virtually anything. Yeah. And this is like spans decades. And it's like, it's stuff that could on paper, maybe not work. You're like, oh my God, they're going to play two different ages and it's going to be multi-generational. And it's really, yes, it's about superheroes, but it's kind of like, you know, Godfather 2 of superhero stories. That's
way,
big stuff,
right?
To go after. Yeah.
I do think, yeah, I mean, it's not usually my genre,
right?
Superhero stuff. I also think it's been done like Deadpool, I loved. Right. I mean, I think the first Iron Man, I don't think they ever got it better than that. I think that's like a perfect film. I think Favreau and Downey, like,
yeah.
Done. Number one. It is like, it's perfection.
Yep.
But you know, it's been done and there've been, versions of it that have been done really well. And so I was like, how do you reinvent this wheel? And so I like that aspect of like future, or their present, past. And it's big, like to try to do, and by no means am I saying it's Godfather 2, but it was interesting that somebody swung for a fence that was that fence.
Yeah.
So to go, this is this thing. I don't know. Will people stick with it? I hope they do. I thought it was interesting. I also felt like, how do you play a superhero? Because then you're playing somebody like that. That doesn't make sense to me as an actor. Right. So I remember, you know, I break all my scripts with my acting coach, this guy, Terry Knickerbocker, same guy Sammy works with.
Right.
And he taught at the school. Oddly, Sam and I went to the same acting school.
I was going to say, when I was reading up, because I've talked to Sam so many times and Esper always comes up and I had no idea that was part of your start too. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was so crazy. He finished school before me because he's older. And I did my first year, I studied with Maggie Flanagan. And I did my first year and I was 19 in my first year. And then I just remember her saying, your life experience, what brings you to life separates you from every actor. And she was tough on me and she was really tough on me, but I think she believed in me. So she was like, you're going to get away. The doors are going to open for you. I feel like, because of the way you look or whatever it's going to be, but I want you to be tough as nails and I want you to be good, which was amazing, but still I would weep all the time because she would rip me a new asshole constantly and like push me, like push to go far. They'd go deeper. But I remember her saying that your life experiences, what brings you to life separates you from every actor. And I was like, I took a leave of absence from my first year to my second year. And I was modeling was my bartending job. Like it was like what paid my bills.
Right.
And I was like, I can go to Europe and I can see the world and have experiences. I'm going to do this because I knew I wasn't going to be, it was just like a bartending job for me. I knew I wasn't going to be some like great model. I didn't have that sort of like, it was just, but it paid my bills.
Right.
So, and I knew I wanted it to end because I wanted to be an actor and I wanted that to be my bread and butter. So she let me go and somebody else dropped out of the class. So there were two spots empty and one of the spots got filled with Sam's best friend, Ivan Martin, who came in and then, which is this weird sort of world. And then I came back and I finished my 2-year program with her.
Sorry, we got sidetracked from, I don't know how we got there.
Oh my God, who knows? I ramble like.
That's okay.
Like,
so do I.
Like a rose. I think we're talking about breaking scripts. Terry, I don't know.
That's okay. So we were in Jupiter's legacy. So you mentioned obviously Iron Man. So you have some association. So had you ever been up for like superhero stuff like in the intermittent years?
Really? No, I think also because you're in that world, like Marvel have done it and you're like, well, you're Christine Everhart. This is the person you are. And then I wasn't like, 28 or, I was like, and then I never thought I'd sort of put on a suit when I was in my 40s. Like as a woman, they'll do that with a man, but as a woman, they're going to have you do that. There's still that thing. And so that was interesting. I know what I was saying. I was saying when you look at the part, when I looked at like superhero stuff, I was like, been done so well, and then when it came, I was like, I was intrigued, honestly, with putting on that fucking suit. I was like, I want to fly. I want to learn how to fight. I want to learn how to do all of that stuff. I mean, not that I do it that great and like, I'm a slow learner, but I am tenacious and I try really hard. But I remember sitting there looking at the script and going, how do you play the strongest person in the world? Like there's no, where are your cracks? Like your cracks are what are interesting. Like that, those are the hooks you have into the character, like creating this bedrock for the character. And I remember this moment and I said it to Josh. I said, we were talking about something and I said, it's like we're doctors. And he said, what? And I said, it's like we're doctors who are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. And we live together. We can't take breaks. We can't take, I was like, what? It was just this moment. I was like, what does that do to the relationship?
The emotional toll. Yeah. Yeah. That's real.
And,
that you can relate to. Like, I get it now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, and then I was like, oh, this is about human relationship. This isn't about saving the world.
Right.
I mean, there is one thing about the code and how to live your life and doing the right thing and power. And that's one part of it. But then there's this family dynamic about relationship. I think there's also, do we become our parents? Which I found interesting. My mom passed away in 2018 and it happened suddenly. And I had to go the next week and film a movie because I was producing the movie and in it. And we had the funeral and then I went right to work.
Wow.
You know, you can't be sick. You can't have people, you just got to. Right. The show must go on, right?
Yeah.
And then we went right into Jupiter's. And I was doing press and somebody was talking about Grace Kennedy, the character I play, Lady Liberty. And I started talking and I was like, I realized she's like my mother. And like that some part of me, because I was looking at my mother's life and my mother was very much like a young Grace Kennedy. She was just sort of self-made. She worked in politics. She worked in like a very male dominated world. She worked in political campaigns. She was fearless. She was bold. She was bright. My father died when I was 3 and I have 3 older sisters and she raised us and like never felt like we were without because she hustled. She had a hustle about her and she was beautiful and funny and vivacious and still no nonsense and was very honest about the world with me. And she was like a cat on a hot tin roof. Like she always landed on her feet. And then as she got older, I saw that sort of change. And I saw a fearfulness set in with her. And towards the end of her life, I just didn't recognize who she was.
Yeah.
And which was very hard for me with my relationship with her. I mean, she changed political views. She changed so many things. It was like we were going over here and she was like, no, we're going to Albuquerque. And I was like, no, we're going,
we're going
to Paris. And she's like, no, we're going over here. So it was so upsetting, but also got me. I was like, I am not going to be that way. And that can't happen. And you know, you start, and when someone dies, it makes you think about your own life and it makes you think about your own mortality and how I wanted to do it different. And then I was like, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to be that way. And then I play this character who suddenly the same thing has happened to her. Like life has happened and she sort of has lost her voice and she's towing a company line and she's so busy keeping all these other balls in the air and trying to keep her family together and trying to keep her relationship with her husband together and trying to be good at her job. And she doesn't have any fucking friends. She doesn't have time for friends. And I realized there was something very similar. So I think it was subconscious, sort of on a subconscious somehow working its way.
Well, that's what you do. That's your craft. Yeah. Some of it's conscious and some of it's going to be subconscious. Yeah.
Subconscious. But that, I don't know. It's interesting how, you know, how we get older and fear just settles it. I hate it.
A lot of what you said just resonated. I mean, my dad passed this past year and it was,
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. To you as well. I mean, and my mom's thankfully still around, but yeah, I mean, that's huge existential questions that we face, aren't they? I mean,
but Josh, isn't it fascinating? I'm curious, two things have happened. Suddenly it doesn't matter how old you are, you start to think about your own mortality.
Yeah.
And life. And then you're like quickly like how it's all shooting by so fast.
Yep.
And then the second thing that happened, and I had this feeling, and I remember somebody who had lost both of their parents said this to me. They said, do you feel like an orphan? And I went, yes. I didn't want to say it because it felt like almost narcissistic to say. And they said, no, it's a weird thing. And I said, and you know, at my age, do they say I feel like I feel like you're just all of a sudden become a little kid who wants their parents. And did you have that? Did you, when your father passed, is there like that orphan-y sort of ringing?
We're not on our own, but we are like at a certain point, like even if you weren't turning to them for that kind of support that we did when we were 8 or 10, knowing that even in the back of our brains, they were there. That's and I also feel like overnight I'm like looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I just suddenly literally turned into my dad.
overnight. Yeah, I was listening to Sarah Silverman. I follow her on Instagram, and she was talking about she had in her podcast, she did this thing on that she put on like a reels or something. I'm so bad with that stuff with Instagram. The worst. But she was talking about aging and she was talking about her sister who's a rabbi. And she said, my sister never looks in the mirror and she's so happy. She never worried about it. And like, there's just this inner glow. It's like, I think there's that thing about, there's this story, I think it was like in the New York Times ages ago, like on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that on New Year's Day, there's a load of birthdays because when refugees come into the country, they just give them, because they don't have an actual birthday, like a month ending, like they're like, I was born in the year of the flood or I was born in the year of the thing. Like there's no, so their age is kind of unknown. So America gives them a January 1st birthday. I don't know. I forget what happened with the like year or whatever, but I know they all got like, so the story was about how there's a lot of birthdays on January 1st with people in America. And And it got me thinking, like, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Like, what is age? Like, if age is the thing, like, how old would you be? Like, right. What, how old do you, like, what is it? Because I don't feel the number I am.
Thankfully, neither do I.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what I mean? But when you say that you look in the mirror and suddenly you look like your father and like you, right? And you all of a sudden, like, I feel like my eyes suddenly have, like, I wear readers now. They're chic caddis readers. Right. But I was like, when am I, like, that sort of thing. Like, that's, I think, like, to tie it to Jupiter's, I think it's fun to, like, that was, like, something that was enticing to me to feel like a bad, I don't know. I think, like, some part of me, I was like, I want to be a badass. I want to do this and, like, feel strong and feel like that.
Well, it's also interesting. I mean, obviously, you're a very intelligent person. So, you know, especially for actresses, it's definitive. For actresses, like, shamefully, for the history of acting, we put these, like, shelf caps? Life. Yeah. And at these shifts.
Oh, and it happens all the time. I see, like, Sam's, like, love interest is, like, in their 30s. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Amy Ryan would be a great option for you. You know, like, right. I mean, and he's always like, he doesn't see, like, he's never, but it's like just what the studio did or this or that. It is a weird thing. It's unfair. I think it's changing. I think there is, like, you know, something that I hope that changes. It sucks.
Because, were you aware of that from the start? I mean, especially having, you know,
it's a good question. Especially,
like, the, you know, the modeling background and so much of that is traded on youth and being very aware because of who you were and how beautiful you are and were. And, like, so, like, that's part of your identity.
I remember my mother saying to me, and this probably has to do with my dad dying when I was very young. You know, when my dad died, I was 3. Kim was 7. Bev was 9. I think Trisha was 17. And he died suddenly at work. Like, he was young. It was a terrible accident. And I don't remember a lot. Like, it must have been very traumatic. Like, my childhood is very, like, I don't remember. Like, it's fragmented because I just think it was just so traumatic and impactful that it did do that. But I remembered one of my first things my mother teaching me was that you never depend on a man. You never depend on anybody but yourself, because life can pull the rug out from under you. So you always have a plan B, you have a plan C, you always have a hustle, you always have a side, so I just remember feeling like you just have to be ahead of it. Like, and I don't know if it was about aging, it was more about life is happening and it's going to throw you curveballs and you have to be ready for it. And I think that's sort of like, I don't know. I feel like in a way, maybe she was just very honest about, like, don't rest on anything.
Well, she'd been dealt. She sounds like she lived quite the life, and not to mention losing her husband at that age so suddenly. Yeah. Like, she had that harsh lesson of, like,
yeah, and also, like, you can't, like, if you base it on looks, that shit fades. Yeah. I'll tell you what doesn't fade, like a craft, like something you're good at that nobody else can do, your brain, that doesn't fade.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. So I think that's why I really, it's important for me to constantly, like, it's why, like, even when I break down my scripts, I work with Terry. It feels like going back to acting school again. It's like when you're, because it's like nerve wracking, but it's also so inspiring, and you're just collaborating with somebody, and it feels like a masterclass every time you break a script with him.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like I'm constantly not resting on any laurels, or I'm trying to stay. Like, what this sauce is, nobody else has.
Yep.
That's all I have. And I don't know what beauty, like, whatever. I don't know what that means, but, like, if I can be a funny ass bitch and come in and be bold and bright, I don't know. you know, then that's what I've got. Or if to do that. So that's, I think, makes me feel, because I can't change Father Time.
Right.
And I can't change. Yeah. And I can't change a studio exec saying, too old or this or that. I can't change that. But if I'm fucking good at the job, I have a better shot of them being like undeniable in that way.
Right. Right.
And that's the only swing I guess I can sort of take like that. Because otherwise then you'll just be really angry about everything. And, you know, it is what it is. I guess it happens everywhere. But I do fucking love what we do.
Do you guys talk acting? Like, I mean, he lives for this too. All of this stuff. Is he there? Oh.
Yeah, it's like he's sitting over. He just came in. He's listening. Josh just asked, do we talk acting? All we do is talk about acting. We talk about it. But we talk about acting all the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. I mean, we watch movies all the time. We talk about performances. I was like looking, I had a scene and I have to sort of lose my shit in the scene. And so I was like looking up I was like looking at Full Metal Jacket and I was looking at all this stuff. And
Julianne Moore and Magnolia, just full on like meltdown.
By the way, I should have. I didn't. It was more like a drill sergeant. It was more like,
oh, I see.
Yo, I'm fucking this.
Got it.
And I looked up Five Easy Pieces, the diner scene. And I remember I just sent it to Sam. He was in London. I was like, here you go. It's just such a good scene. I mean, Jack Nicholson, that scene, the way it's shot, that movie's like the best. So I don't know. It's like, I feel lucky to be with a partner who I used to think, oh, you never want to date an actor. Gross. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then I got Rockwell and he's so kind and he's so wonderful he's a good human. So he always, I think I've become a better actor being with him. I remember Maggie Flanagan said something. I went in and audited one of her, I was like in New York and I was like, hey, can I just come audit a class? Like see what your second year students are doing. She's like, yeah, come in. So it's back when she was still teaching. And I remember sitting in there and watching these second year students do their scenes. And I was like having like PTSD of being in like school and being like, oh God, I know what you're feeling. And then she would always sit and talk to the class. And she said something that made me laugh really hard, but it's true. She said, you're sort of like telling them to get their shit together and, you know, what every acting, you know, come back, you need to make bolder choices, do this. But she said, don't hang out with bad actors. They're like the plague.
They'll bring you down. Well, you went the right route then. Yeah.
I know. And I was like, oh, it's true. I'm lucky. It's like, you know, it was like Sam's friends, Billy Crudup, Phil Hoffman. They're like, they're good. Yeah. They're good people, you know? But yeah, I also, you know, it's like we're nerds about it. We love it. You know, I'm sure let like doctors hang out and talk about doctory things and, you know.
I was going to say this time is flying by. So I want to make sure I get one of our producers' questions in here. Jen Caden wanted me to ask you, speaking of Sam, would you like to do another role with Sam? You actually haven't really shared much screen time with him over the years at all.
We've never really done a movie. I mean, we had like a baby scene and Iron, that was nothing.
Right.
I did a part. He did this movie called,
is it the Jared Hess movie?
Don Verdeen.
Yeah.
And then Jared asked me to do it, but I just did it because Sam and I had a scene, but I just wanted to be with Danny McBride because I played Danny's wife and I'm such a fan of his.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's the best,
he's the best. And we didn't know him. And were we all in Sundance with you? Did we all do it?
Yeah.
And didn't it go like crazy? Cause it was also like Sam and Danny and me and Jermaine.
Yes. Yes. And Danny is like one of my favorites. Cause everything I've done with him over the years off the rails, so talented, like one of the best improvisers I've ever seen, period.
And again, a really nice person.
I know.
And how they run like their company with David Gordon Green and Jody, like, again, just, you know, he lives in South Carolina. Like, Danny
has cracked the code. They figured it out. Yep.
Melissa and Ben, Will, Adam McKay, and Danny McBride. I think they've all cracked it to be like, we're gonna, yeah. I think Seth and his Seth Rogen, Seth and like Evan. Those, yep. Yeah, they've really like figured it out. So, so yeah, I did that movie really to, I just wanted to work with Danny because I'm like a little leech, like give me somebody funny and I'm just going to try to leech. I think you'll make me funnier. So, so we did that, but I don't think we have done anything. I have this fantasy of us doing something. I would like to do a play with Sam.
Oh my God.
I would like to do something. We did a play reading once and I remember the, like it was something and they, our characters got into a fight. And like our, we were just like in our house, like it was like all a bunch of actors, we're all reading, doing this play reading. And everyone sort of got quiet. And I remember they're like, that was interesting. Like, oh. It was like, that was interesting. But as the, so that I, in my head, I have like a fantasy of doing a play with him. That feels
that would
really
be epic. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Come back to New York. Yeah.
I know. I want to, I miss theater.
Well, that's they say that they set a date, September, 100% capacity, New York theater.
You know, the last play we saw Laurie Metcalf do, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I bow at that altar. Like I bow, I drink from the sacred cups. I like Laurie Metcalf to me. I think I saw Doll's House Part 2 3 times because she was, I mean, she's epic.
Yeah.
And nobody tears a stage up like that woman. And it was really something to behold. And Rupert Everett was really good. I thought it was a great production.
I missed Rupert Everett was sad.
They were incredible. And I was like, Rupert Everett as like George, all right.
Right.
And then it was, honey, right? It was amazing. It was incredible. Sam just said she's an
animal.
Sam just said Laurie Metcalf she's a beast. She's an animal. I just want a tenth of what she has. I just want she to me is fierce. Yeah. She's like, God, she's so good.
You guys will get on the stage together and I will be there. I also am like many Marvel fans, resentful that I feel like your two characters are like the only ones that haven't been revisited in like 10 years. So I feel like that's way overdue. Justin Hammer and Christine. What is up with that?
I know. Sam with his little spray tanned hands. Do you notice that about that character? It's my favorite thing.
Hands were spray tanned?
No, I remember seeing it and they were like, your hands are spray tan because he wanted a spray tan for the character. And I remember watching him get spray tanned in the back of the house. And I was like, boo, don't touch yourself. You get it on your hands and you don't have suntan on your palms or on the bottom of your feet. And he would do it and then put his hands on his hips or do this. And so his hands are brown, which is like, actually seems like the greatest character choice, that Justin Hammer is such an egomaniac. He's like, no, my hands actually tan. They're look at it. They're brown. They're like this an orange
demands
brown.
Further exploration, I think, in a Disney Plus series, the hands of Justin Hammer.
Yes. Hey, so you really love superhero.
Look at me. Can't you see from the glasses? Yeah, I'm a big old nerd. I went to like sci-fi conventions when I was a kid.
You as a kid?
Yeah, I went to Star Trek conventions. I was a whole... So here, by the way, I watched this panel, this WonderCon panel you did. Was that for real? You, or a bit that I missed, that you got like all the comic book trivia. Like it was bizarre.
So Mark and I, it was Mark's idea. And I...
It got me.
Good. Josh Duhamel, it totally got Josh. Ben Daniels, he was so pissed. He was like, that's not true. I memorized the answers. I wasn't cheating on the day. I had them memorized.
Well, this is a compliment. You are clearly an excellent actor because I totally bought it. And I was, but that's why I was confused in this conversation. You're like, comic books are not my thing. I'm like, she had me. She got me.
I got it. You know, I tell you what I love about comic books. Like what I loved about Jupiter's Legacy, Jupiter's Circle, is I love opening that comic book and the art. Heavy metal, heavy metal to me, like that, the artwork is so incredible. Frank, I thought Frank quietly did such an, I love his, the artwork in all the Jupiter's series.
I mean, and my fondest memories as a kid were like going to the movies and hanging out at the comic book store. So this combines all my loves.
I love it. It makes me happy that you liked it. I appreciated in that show. I appreciate, there was like a lot of things that got cracked for me. I got to fly. I got to live out some, I didn't realize that I wanted to put on a suit and pretend to be that strong. There was something really confidence building about playing a character like that. But I also really enjoyed playing them in the 20s. I loved all of those clothes. I'd never done a period movie or show or anything like that. So I really enjoyed that. And our costume designer is this woman, Liz Wolf, and she did such an incredible job with the building the super suits and then all of our costumes in the 20s. I thought everyone looked amazing. I hope people stay with it. And
I mean, I would have just checked. I really would have checked out. And I think the ensemble is really excellent. I think the kids are good. I think some of the episodes dive deep into certain characters. So it doesn't follow kind of a very conventional, and I mean that in a good way, narrative path.
Yeah.
It takes these side streets, you know.
But that's the fear, though, because people, is an appetite for quick and right. What's in, people. So that's my fear. But I really was impressed with episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8. Charlotte Brandstrom, I think, was our director on 5 and 6. And then 7 and 8 is this director, Mark Jobst, Jobst. And
fun to say.
Yeah, it's very fun to say. And I remember what was written on the page and what I saw in 7 and 8. I just emailed him last night because I was like, it's incredible what you did, because that world wasn't on the page.
Yeah.
And here's a weird fun fact about the show. So we were supposed to go to an island, and you hear island, so you think sunny, hot, we're in Morocco, it should be an island. So it was sort of written like that. And then timing and everything that happened, we couldn't go. And we couldn't get there. And it was like a whole shit show. So we had to shoot it in Toronto. And it was October going into November. And I remember thinking, okay, well, we're going to shoot it. All right, it's going to be what it's going to be. And it was almost this moment where art was imitating life, because we shot this scene where we're going through the woods. We find this tree and it's probably 55 degrees, 60 degrees, a crisp fall day, but beautiful. And that afternoon we were shooting in another part of the forest and it fucking started to snow. And not a dusting, but a snow. And we stopped production and everyone started freaking out. What are we doing? And then the forecast was oh no, it's gonna snow. And is that fun? To have that in the background. Spot.
Where's Waldo? Where's Rockwell?
Where's Rockwell? Yeah. so funny. He's the best. And it started to snow. And to Mark's, he just rode with it. And he was like, this is great. We're going to use it. So that snow was all real. I mean, it snowed so much. And then it melted. And then we were on another location that was I found it really worked.
Yeah.
So well. And I also found it cool to watch a director, because I know it must have been very stressful for him.
I can imagine, yeah.
And he rolled with it.
And figure out how to make it work, yeah.
It was so cool to me. And, and he never sort of he comes from theater. So he gives you, he gives you a lot of rope to hang yourself with as an actor. But if you come prepared, you're gonna soar. You're gonna fucking hook it onto a tree and climb it. He's not just go here, go here, go here. It was fun to work with a director who felt to give you that. Cause usually in television, sometimes they can be a little narrow.
Yeah.
And he just was the opposite of that. And I was really, really impressed with that, because I just know that must be so stressful as a director, and it happens on films too all the time.
I don't know if you can hear all the sirens and motorcycles behind me. New York is beckoning you guys back. I hope when next we speak or see each other, we're back home. But
we should
also
have a drink. Let's have a drink in New York.
I would love that.
Does Sammy have your phone number?
He does. We've got okay. I've got his email. Yeah.
Okay, great.
But I appreciate that. And I would love nothing more than to see you both because you are both the best. We really honestly just scratched the surface. We didn't even get into like back in the old days, Popular, et cetera. But that's, I guess, for the next part.
My beloved Popular. I'm still like besties with Carly Pope.
I saw that she popped up in the movie you produced. That's amazing.
I know. I called her. I said, will you do me a favor? Will you just come? You are way overqualified to do this, but I think it's kind of I know that they're going to want my producers. I'm going to convince them that we need to pay. I want a real. So Georgia King came, who was again overqualified, but Carly and Georgia came out. But I just thought, wouldn't it be funny, Car, if like you're just so mean to me? It's like the opposite Brooke and Sam.
The best.
And she's the best. She's the best. I love her. I really cradle the fact that she's still in my life, and like still in my life in like a very deep.
Yeah.
Deep, meaningful. I mean, we went through so many firsts.
That was a special experience for everyone involved, clearly. Like that It hit at the right time for a lot of you folks from behind the camera and in front. So it remains a cult class. I mean, people love it. People still watch it and talk about it.
It's beloved. It's so weird. They always, Entertainment Weekly or some magazine like that, always wants to do, I get a call to every couple of years, like, we want to do like a cover photo with like the way they did with Dawson's Creek.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm down. And then it always falls apart. And I'm like, who in the cast doesn't want to do it? There's somebody in that
cast. For the record, it is not Leslie Bibb.
It's not Leslie Bibb. Leslie Bibb and Carly Pope are gunning to do it. They're in. I mean, you know, I think we were all sort of like, didn't take it. You take it for granted. You're like, I was 24. Carly was 18. Right. And you just sort of are like, oh, this happens. You get on a hit television show. Oh, you get this. And then you're sort of like, you don't appreciate it. I don't think I appreciated what it was. And I love it. I'm very fond of it. I don't know. I don't know if like, I think like, I was like, oh, it's CW or, you know, or it's a WB, like some, I'm sure I was like
as you say, age probably has a huge part of it and where you were at in your career. Like, I mean,
and everybody was like, cause then you would do television or movies. It was like the opposite. And we're like, Everybody wanted to do movies. It wasn't like it is now. It wasn't,
I gotta
like,
go do the Skulls. I'm getting out of Popular.
Do that revelatory, the Skulls. I'm gonna go do C-Spot Run.
Hey, there's some love for the Skulls out there too.
There is some weird love. I mean, I don't know. Maybe critics don't like my movies, but I feel like people, I don't even read.
You're good. You've got plenty to be proud of on that resume, more than your share. And,
but people are nice about it. It's nice. It's nice. Like I feel lucky that I've worked consistently my whole life. It just like, and I feel grateful and lucky that I was, my mom sent in those photos to the Oprah Winfrey show because I would have never gone to New York City.
I had no idea that was where it started either, by the way. Like, talk about crazy stories.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Oprah Winfrey. And I would have never gone to New York. I was going to go to UVA. I don't know how I would have gotten to New York. And so I am so grateful for all of those pieces because honestly, I don't know what else I would do. I think I would be living a life that I wasn't, I would feel this deep loss.
Longing, or something.
Longing, and I wouldn't know what it was, you know? And I feel, I'm just glad like every, you know, Dean Winters was like my boyfriend and he was going to Esper. And I was like, he's like, oh, you should go to this school. It's a really good school. And, you know, he broke my heart, but like, thank God he got me to Esper. Right. I'll take that broken heart, you know, like, but like finding that at like 19 and I just, you know, New York in the 90s is pretty special. it was a fun time to be there. So yeah, I look back, it's been pretty fucking rad.
That's pretty good. That's the way to put the bow on it. Well, a little luck, a lot of talent, and honestly, congrats on Jupiter's Legacy. I'm psyched for this new one in Australia. It sounds like that's going to be awesome. That's a Netflix project too, right? That'll be probably, I guess, next year or something.
We're doing two seasons. So
amazing.
I think so they're just doing them back to back. So next year will be season one. And then, you know, I don't know when they'll do the other one. But yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Ben and Melissa they're so ridiculous. They're so funny. And the stuff that comes out, Ben wrote all of them. He's not directing any of them. It's he and Melissa together. And they've been touched by God to save mankind and save the world. And
at first I thought you were talking about real life. That also could be true.
Also, that is kind of true. I do feel like, I do think there is an importance to laughter in the world, you know, and I think that they help us with that. But just the two of them together, I mean, they're so funny. I mean, I love their love of each other. They really are. They're so tender and so support, like, as corny as that sounds, we're so supportive of one another. And I love watching that. I love watching that within a couple, you know, you don't see it that often.
And I have an amazing photo of the three of us when they came in to do my podcast, actually. And you've probably seen, I've probably done it with you, this happy, sad, confused photos that I do sometimes where it's like three different expressions. But what we did together was we did like an awkward, like, prom photo where it's the three of us basically on top of each other. I'll send it to you too if you want to see it. But it's they're the best. Is the long short of it. They're game and fun and sweet and nice. And if there's any lesson from this conversation, is we'll just be nice to each other.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. I don't think the road. I think there was like something that I think it we used to think if we're doing real art, it has to be hard it's gotta be hard and it's gotta be like good. And listen, I am prepared within an inch of my life. Like I don't come in, I don't have time for people who show up and are not memorized. I don't have, like, if you come in without an idea and not memorized, you better be coming in with like some magic sauce. Like you better be like Meryl Streep. Like there better be like, then I'll follow you. But like just come in, like don't waste everybody's time. Like the crew is not with their family. They're with us. Like you could come prepared, but then it doesn't have to. And then because I find that when people freak out on sets, it's usually because they're not prepared.
Right.
And so they lash out. You know, you're doing this or you're doing that. And then like they lose their fucking minds. And it's like, wait, you didn't know what your lines, you don't know what's happening. You didn't get enough, or they're fucking exhausted or whatever, but it's like, oh, well, everybody's exhausted.
Yeah.
And Ben sent me a photo of like, cause we're in a little hiatus right now. And he sent me it was like my last shot and I do something pretty awesome. It's like, and it's like me sitting there with the director and we're sort of like trying to map out this, and it's a lot of moving. There's special effects, there's VFX, there's stunts. We've got 30 minutes to catch this light because it has to be sunrise. So and then you see in the photo, he sent it. And I just said to him, I said, I love looking at all the people. You can see my DP in the background. He's just sitting there looking like, and I said, and that's before he threw up the scrim that went up with, you know, and you see all the VFX guys just like, you know, there's so many moving pieces that go into making something. I mean, you go sit. I mean, I don't think people realize that when you sit at home and you watch your show or you sit and you go, this could be better. You know, like nobody goes to the opera and goes, well, I could have done that better. Like, no, you never say that. But like I remember Maggie said, everyone's going to judge this more because if you do it well, you make it look easy, you know? And when you look at like, okay, I'll go to Thunder Road.
Fury Road.
You see Fury Road and you see those cars and you see, all I see is like, how the fuck did they do that? How did they do that? Or you see like Josh Brolin in No Country with swimming from the guy, swimming from the pit bull at that perfect light at dusk, which is 30 minutes that you have to get it. And you're God knows where you are in some canyon in New Mexico and whatever. But I look at it and I love all of that stuff. I love how many, I think it goes back to, again, the collaboration of everybody's work. And that was cool. I think on Jupiter's, that was cool because I never worked on something where it was so much stuff. I was saying that earlier to somebody that Sam was in Toronto for this movie he did and for Richard Jewell. And John Hamm was there for some other movie he did. And I did tag with John.
Right.
And we got on really well, and Sam got on really well. And I think John was in the Richard Jewell movie too.
Right.
So they were at a brewery having beers, and I was at work in Toronto. And I said, come, come visit me on set. I said, we're doing this like big hilltop fight scene. So they came to set, and I sort of forget that John's like, people love Mad Men. I didn't watch Mad Men, but people love that show. Right. And it was, I'm like, people are like freaking out. So John comes on, and he's such a down-to-earth guy. So he comes onto this set, and it's so much green screen. We're in a whole soundstage is green screen. And it was just so blaring to me. And we'd been on the fucking set for like 6 days. And I was like, I don't want to see this stupid grassy knoll. I don't want to see any more of this bright lime green. It's making me crazy. We've been hoisted in the air. And we're doing all this stuff. And there's so many stunt people and there's so much lighting and there's so much shit. And John walked in and he just looked around and he's like, wow, babe, they're spending a lot of money on this. And I go, and it's just a room with green. And I go, what? He goes, you know how expensive this green screen shit is? And I was like, no, I didn't. But it was just that moment. Like, it was just like an actor who's been around a long time. And
yeah,
it was like,
you do realize how much is going into this, how many people are working to make everybody look good and you look good.
And and how cool it is. Like, he was like, this is cool, man. This is cool. And then when you see it and to realize that everything on that hilltop, like, I think the editors did a really good job and the special effects people did a good job on Jupiter's, and those guys should get like a nice shout out on that show. Like, that was a hard show to
wrangle. Yeah. I would say I can't imagine, but from what you're saying, I think I can imagine. Honestly, again, congrats on it. This was long overdue, and you're invited on anytime, of course. As I said, there's a lot more to talk about always. And yeah, let's
cut to you being like, no, Leslie, I changed my number. I'm like, hey, Josh, do you want to talk about
you? How dare you? No. I hope you have a great rest of the shoot with Melissa and Ben, and safe travels back here. And let's get that drink anytime.
Let's get a drink in our mouths.
I mean, come on. We deserve it after the last year. A couple drinks.
Here's what I think. I'm going to tell you, and before I go, one funny rule with, you know, Australia.
Yeah.
They have, when they go into sort of lockdowny sort of things, like wearing masks again, and they have a rule that they won't shut the bars. They'll still let you come into the bars, but you cannot stand and have a drink. I know. What does that mean? What is that rule, Australia? You cannot stand. Sydney is in this thing. I was reading about it because they had a couple of cases. So they're locking down stuff. Everyone's back to wearing masks. And they're like, and I was like, oh, bars, you can only go to a bar if it's outside. And they're like, nope, people can still go to bars. You can still be inside drinking in a bar, but you cannot stand and have a drink.
Maybe they're worried about all the dangerous animals that could get, if you're inebriated, your wits are not about you. You might be murdered by the 3,000 different poisonous snakes in Australia.
No, it's about COVID. It was about like when their COVID restrictions come in, I'm like, standing. Maybe they just worry you're going to start hanging on people. You get too loose. I'm going to hang all over you, Joshua Horowitz, when I see you.
All right, I'll hold you to that.
Okay.
It's good to see you. Good
Thank
to catch
you.
Up.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. And give my best to Melissa and Ben. Honestly, they're I'm president of their fan club as well. And
yeah, I'll be the secretary.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. And yeah, pack up Sammy in a suitcase, nice and safe when you bring him back. We need him intact, okay?
Yeah, he's a national treasure, isn't he?
He is. All right. Have a good one today.
Thanks, love. Be well.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.